Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Any emergency or priority traffic, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Excellent. Okay, lucky we don't get an answer to that question. So, let's see. Bergen Amateur Association Technical Net is conducted every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater, 146.955. The offset is -600. The PL tone to access the repeater is 141.3 hertz. The purpose of this net is to discuss things about amateur radio, things about electronics, electricity, telecommunications, computing, and pretty much anything else we want to talk about that's related to those things or in our society that uses those things, which is pretty much about everything. So, spin the question correctly, you can talk pretty much about whatever you like. But we're going to have a conversation. We would like people to check in whether or not you are, you know, a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. You're welcome to check right in anytime. We'd like to have you at the top of the meeting, at the top of the net, though, because we like to tailor the responses for who we perceive the audience to be. So even if you don't have a question or a comment for the net, we would hope that you would check in. Just helps us, you know, get the right kind of answers to the right kinds of audience that we have. And further, you might find yourself an unwitting resource to a question that might be coming up. You never know. Or someone will remember something about you or your station or your needs, whatever, that you may not have recalled and inquire as to how you handled X, Y, or Z. So sometimes you'll get a question when you didn't expect one, which is great, too. Remember, it's a conversation. Friends. So with that in mind, we'll go on to how do we check in. We'd like you to check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. But again, check in even if you don't have anything to contribute. Your presence is a contribution. So, with that in mind, let us begin. Stations whose call signs begin with November, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2 BAR.
NS2K, no question at this point.
Good evening, James. Actually, I probably have to rendezvous with you tomorrow or Saturday. You're going to the meeting on Sunday. I may not be. We're not sure. I have something for you to bring to somebody if you have a moment to do that, but time will tell. And we don't even know if you're going. Anyway, we'll get to that. But good evening to you. Any other Novembers? Okay, Alpha calls. Please call K2BAR. Okie dokie. Let's try Whiskey calls. It was a carrier with no modulation. If I didn't know any better, I would say it was Don. Don, you want to try that again? I don't know who that was. You want to try it again?
Yeah, it was WE2R. Charlie, no question.
Okay, Charlie, good evening. Very fine. Any other whiskeys?
W1 Alpha Uniform. Bill, no question.
Good evening, Bill. Very fine. Bill, where are you located again? You're like Ridgewood, aren't you?
Affirmative, Ridgewood.
Okay, very good. We last spoke at the CERT graduation. You were chatting with my wife, some of my scouts, my youngest son, and your wife, if I recall. And I kind of joined in the conversation later. Oh, yes, very good. All right, any other whiskeys? today, the Kilo 2s.
K2DSL, David, no questions or comments. Happy New Year.
Hey, David. Happy New Year to you as well. Actually, I have a question for you as to, and I'll even tell you what the question is so you can prepare for the answer. Are you operating the RIDI contest, and what's your configuration going to look like? You know, not just your computer configuration, although that'd be good, but, you know, the whole regime. I'm just kind of curious as to what you're going to do right up to the end. So how you, what's your strategy going to be, and what's your configuration? So I'm just going to put you down for that, if you don't mind. And put you down for a comment for that. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2AMI, Tony.
And Tony, questions, comments, confusions?
I could probably make a comment, and I might have a question. Put down question and comment.
Yes, sir, I will do just that. Our comment, question. All right, any other Kilo 2s? All right, any other Kilos?
K2AD, Ben. I have a question.
Good evening, Ben. I'll board your question. Thank you. Any other... Whoops, what the heck did I do here? Why, that's really bizarre. What did I do? Cap bucket shifts are not the same. Alrighty. So, any other Kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2 with Kibal Foster. Jim, none of the above.
Okay, Jim. Kilo Charlie 2 Wilfie, Whiskey Alpha Oscar, is it?
No, it's Whiskey Golf Oscar.
Okay, very good. And you have a question?
No, right now I have none of the above.
Okay, very good. Welcome aboard, Jim. Alrighty, any other Kilos? Okay, anybody who's late checking in or didn't get called up on the first go-round, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR? This is November 2, Oscar Echo Lima.
Two questions. Oh, no, Noel, two questions. Wow. All right, we'll get to your two questions eventually. I was waiting to see if you'd check in. But I bought one of those Navy Star and rotatable antenna thingies. It works really well. It really does. I'm actually nominally impressed. So, we'll talk about that too. So, I'm going to ask you to comment. If your questions aren't about your Navy Star antenna, I'm going to ask you to comment about Navy Star antenna as well. And any other stations?
K2BAR, November 2, Mike, Victor, name is Eric, Bronx, New York, with an HD 1 watt, just so you know, making it in.
Eric, you're doing fine from the Bronx, and to Mike, Victor, no problem, you're dropping out every so often, but if you pick your spot carefully and stay still, I think you'll be fine. Welcome aboard. Any other stations? Okie dokie. So let us begin. David, I'm going to pick on you because of the upcoming RIDI contest. What's the game plan? And is there anything you want from other members of the club, like submitted logs, things like that?
K2BAR, this is K2DSL. Good evening, Gordon and everybody. The contest starts this Saturday at 1 p.m. our time, which is 1800 Zulu, and it goes until 7 p.m. Sunday night, which is perfect timing to end and go, leave to go to the Barra meeting. So in that time, you're only allowed to operate 24 hours. So out of those 24 hours, I think it's a 30-hour total. You got to be off for 6 hours, and those 6 hours have to be in one or two chunks, which is fine. So I'll work starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and then probably work to
until about 1 a.m. on Sunday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and then go sleep for 6 hours, wake up at 7 and work the next 12 hours. So I only run, well, let me talk for a second. So I have a TS-2000 that puts out 100 watts, and that's what I run at, 100 watts, so that equals low power in the contest. You can actually go up to 150 watts in this contest and still be considered low power. But I'll run 100 watts. I have two wire antennas, the G5RV that I use for 40 meters and 80 meters. And then I have a tri-band dipole that I made up with Richard, K2ZD, that does 10 meters, 15 meters, and 20 meters, so there probably won't be much 10-meter activity. But those contacts all still count. And the goal is to make contacts with each U.S. state and the Canadian provinces and each country, which includes Alaska and Hawaii, or they're considered DACs and not U.S. states. They're all multipliers. But it's once per band you can work a station, so any station I can work on 10, 15, 20, 40, and 80 at a drop. And for the computer that's hooked up to the TS-2000, it's notebook. It runs Windows 7. I run N1MM, which is a free logging program, so that does all the contest logging and the sending of the macros, and then all the RIDI decoding and transmitting is handled through MMTTY, which integrates into N1MM. So I just set up the macros, and I sit down and listen to the diddles for 24 hours. So that's kind of my goal, and I guess to break last year's total, I need 709 contacts in those 24 hours.
Well, that's outstanding. I remember you did very, very well last year. I think that was, if not your first contest, your first very serious RIDI contest, I should say. It was, you know, it was very nice. You did very, very well. So, good, good. Anybody have any questions for David about his configuration, his plan for the RIDI contest? Okie doke. Well, good DX, my friend. One question for you is, do you have, is there a club competition in this?
Probably, because it's an ARRL competition. So as long as I think if we put three logs in, then we are contributing to the club score. So I submit mine directly, and anybody can submit theirs directly as well. If they don't want to submit it, they can send it to Phil Barber, WA2LXE, and he'll submit it on your behalf. So if you submit it yourself, you just want to make sure that you have the club name entered as Bergen A space ARA, Amateur Radio Association, Bergen space ARA as the club name. And we usually do pretty well. I know that I haven't talked with Jerry to see how he's going to do. He usually runs high power. So Jerry will probably be in the contest as well. He was last year as well. And Dave, K2 Zulu Charlie, is usually in it. Phil, WA2LXE, is usually in it. But I just got an email from him that he's got other things this weekend, so he probably won't be in it. But he'll try to get on and make a contact or two with me. Just to help me out. But otherwise, there's usually some other folks that sometimes get in it. But it's not one of the bigger ones typically for a number of contacts with our club. I think we had, Phil had something in it, about six or something, submitted last year for our club. I think if we were talking about this contest. Anyway, back to that. This is K2DSL.
Very good. Anybody else?
AB2XC, late check-in.
Okay, John, will you have questions or comments?
Comments at a later date.
Roger. Okay, very good. Anybody have any comments for David? Okie dokie. because you got at least like four logs and two really solid ones. So local club competition, I think if you keep it under five, I think it's five or six, I think it's five logs, man. That would be a fee, awesomely kick ass, but whatever. Even the middle club competition would be awesome. All right, very good. Anything else from you, sir?
Nope, that's it. If anybody gets on and hears me, don't be shy and work me and everybody else. It's a lot of fun. And the good thing about RIDI contesting, even when I'm going at a really good rate, it's not tiring. You're not sitting there talking like you do in a phone contest. You're just, as long as you can stare at the screen, you're just decoding what's coming across the screen. You don't have to hear too much, and it's more relaxing than CW and phone to do RIDI contesting. Even though I do a lot more contacts in one contest, it's just less tiring. So hopefully I can do well this year as well. Anyway, back to that, KTDSL.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah,
what is the minimalist equipment needed to do RIDI? I'll let David answer that.
You could probably do it with a netbook connected to your radio. There's two different ways. Just because it's all audio, almost any radio can do it as long as you have some sound card interface from cheap signal link to even, you know, not that you would do it, but something that could just decode the signal, and as long as it's an audio source. It's not processor intensive to do MMTTY in Windows and decode RIDI. It's not intensive at all. So almost any computer will work. N1MM doesn't take up a lot of resources at all, and MMTTY doesn't either. So you just need an interface and obviously something to key your radio to push the talk in some manner. So there's also AFSK, which is sometimes a little bit easier to get set up, but FSK is, it's certainly better for me just because the filters on my Kenwood TS-2000 are better for FSK than they are for AFSK, which is just sideband. Though radios, some ICOM radios have a data SSB mode that allows them to tighten down the filters, because once you get into a RIDI contest, the signals are almost right on top of each other. So you need to be able to set it as narrow as possible just to work on one signal, unless that signal is just so much stronger than the ones around it. But you don't need a lot of power, computing power at all. Just obviously rig control to the radio and then some audio interface, and that's all you need.
No, very good, thank you. Okay. Very good. Well, anybody else before we, you know, go to the next topic? Okay. Our next topic is actually a comment, which I suspect is meeting related, although maybe other things as well, and a question from K2AMI.
Hey, good evening. This is K2AMI. This coming Sunday is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association meeting. It starts somewhere around 7 o'clock when they open the doors. The meeting should start by 7:45 or so. And among the features of this first meeting is you should bring your dues. It's a $20 barra dues charge, and dues will be collected. There will be a program. I'm not too sure what it's going to be. Bruce is vice president now, and he said he's going to be the program director. And there was some talk about a short video about volunteering, which may or may not appear. And it's the general information program, not particularly ham radio. That was mentioned at the exec meeting, but I don't know if it's finalized for the presentations. Of course, we are faced with some snow coming up, and I don't know what the conditions will be. I suspect by Sunday the roads should not be a problem. So I think that's the only announcement. Of course, everybody knows that Kid Night is back in full session again. Bring your cookies and your your soda. Pull up a table, and maybe if you really want to, you might look into building a kit this year. really would be nice to get some guys to start to build some kits, or at least some circuits anyway. And I've been thinking again, like we talked about last week, or last one of the last nets was about building the offset attenuator kit. It's something we could order in a group from a website, or it doesn't take much to put together parts. The hardest thing that we need is a 4-megacycle crystal. Let me drop it a second. The 4-megacycle crystal is used to offset with a heterodyning feature off the received signal. Now, my question is, suppose that you didn't have a 4-megacycle crystal. You had a 5-megacycle crystal or a 3-megacycle crystal. I don't understand why they've chosen 4, and won't any other crystal in that ballpark function okay? As long as you know the offset, you should be able to find it on your radio and tune it that way. So that's my question. I'll turn it back to Ned.
I would think so. I don't think there's anything magical about it. I accept that you want the passband of the receiver, the front end passband of the receiver, to be reasonable up and sensitive enough at that offset frequency. Hold on for a second. Okay, my son just got the call that there's no school tomorrow. He's a very happy boy. Anyway. Alrighty. So anybody have any thoughts about that might differ from mine on this one, or compliment them or whatever?
B2XT.
John, go right ahead.
Is the, this is 144 megahertz FM, is that right?
Yep.
Well, what is the channelization? I'm not really familiar with the exact numbers, but maybe the 4 megahertz fits in a channel slot and the other one gets you halfway in between the slot or something like that?
No, negative. All right. Tony, why don't you explain what you're doing with this offset?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but what happens is that if you're trying to find a weak signal, the fox who's transmitting, and you get close to him, you find that being tuned to his frequency exactly is very difficult to reduce the signal to get a an accurate direction pointer. So what this 4-megacycle offset attenuator is a heterodyning device where you beat 4 megacycles against the incoming received signal, and then search for it on your handy talkie. And again, it should be four megacycles up or down from the received signal. And I stopping to think now. Some handy talkies don't have steps in 4-megacycle range. They have 5 megacycles or 1 megacycle. So I'm not too sure. I've never worked this device, and I'm not quite sure how it works exactly. Would like to know more. Anybody volunteer information on it?
Well, Tony, basically what I was saying is that I think you want it to be offset enough to get some attenuation, but that you want it, you know, close enough so that the front end of the receiver is going to be tuned reasonably close, you know, to the frequency of any question. In other words, you don't want to have undue losses because of the frequency excursion. So, yeah, I think 3 megahertz, 5 megahertz, it doesn't much matter. It could be 2.973 megahertz if you want. Just try to keep it in your head, you know.
Okay, but you'll have to flip your dial to pick up that heterodyne signal, won't you?
Right. So if you know what frequency you're listening for, you can program in the second frequency. So if I had a dual receiver, I would program in the primary frequency in one side and the calculated offset in the other, and just flip back and forth between the two as needed.
Okay, and the only requirement there is obviously that your programming steps must correspond with the digital offset that you're developing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for instance, if if the finest resolution that you have available on your radio is a 5 kilohertz step, then you have to make sure the crystal is within a reasonable accuracy of a 5 kilohertz, raster, while in the circuit in which you're playing.
I probably will build one for the next Fox Hunt, which will be coming up, by the way, in May. I think it's a weekend around the 14th or 15th in May, before the Barra Hamfest. So that might be interesting. Another announcement, I just got in the mail today, the fact that the Orange County Amateur Radio Club is going to have a Hamfest in March. I think it's the 26th of March, up in the Newburgh area there, Monroe, New York, or something like that. I have to read it again. It's upstairs in a mail folder. But Hamfests are coming up now already. Limemark has got a ham radio university. It isn't a Hamfest, it's a ham radio university convention, I guess you'd call it, or educational thing, this coming Sunday, and maybe Jim Jackson could speak more about that. Things are happening with the Hamfest back in season again. And of course, guys, check our Barra website. David and I have just coordinated a new front page for the Barra website, announcing the Barra auction coming up on March the 6th with a flyer that you can download and get circulated. So work on that for us, guys. Back to Ned.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any comments for Tony? Okie dokie. Then let's move along to our next person here. And that would be KF2ID with a question.
Good evening. Happy New Year to everyone. KF2ID with K2BAR. This is sort of computer-related rather than ham radio-related. I was remembering that there were various gadgets that plug into a computer, and when you write with a special pen, what you write shows up on the computer screen and you can save it. So in other words, you can write notes by hand and they show up on the computer, and you could save it. It was a little flurry of excitement about that gadget a while back, but I haven't seen any advertisements of it at all. I haven't searched the web. I did for a while ago, but I just haven't seen any advertisements, which kind of indicates to me that maybe it ain't all that popular. But so I'm just curious if anybody who maybe goes to school or his kids go to school and they use the gadget and what their opinion of it is. I know there are various models worked by various techniques, but if anybody has any practical experience with that at all, I'm interested. This is KF2ID with K2BAR.
I missed the first statement of what Ben asked. Could you repeat the what it is that we're talking about, Ben, the gadget? What kind of gadget is this?
It's a pen in which you write, in which you say you are taking notes at a lecture, or you're just writing something, mathematical equations, anything. Now, as you write it, this either gets stored to the computer or is directly transmitted to the computer. So that what you wrote down on that piece of paper is then becomes part of the computer's memory and documentation. It's a way of getting what you write into the computer. Of course, what you could do it take a photo. I mean, go to later on into a printer that connects to the computer and transmits, or a copier rather, that will copy it into the computer. But this is done in real time in the computer as you're doing it. there are variations on it. Maybe you can type into that document too at the same time, something like that. But that's the basic idea. Real-time transmission of what you are writing on a piece of paper or drawing on a piece of paper directly into the computer. KF2ID with K2BAR.
Yeah, actually, I've seen things like that. My computer has a touch screen, and you can use a writing stylus directly on a touch screen. And if you conform to certain keystrokes that you can teach it, you can actually get it to then store, if you will, typed text, even though you stroked it with a stylus like you would a pen. And there have been other technologies like that floating around for years. Xerox PARC, the Palo Alto Research Center, years ago had something along that line that they were messing around with. I want to say 25 years ago. They built something to do that. So, yeah, absolutely. Has anyone else seen other technologies or examples of this technology?
K2DSL.
David.
K2BAR, K2DSL. Well, how you're describing it, Ben, there's a couple of different things I'm aware of. They've got things out there kind of called smart pens, which are computers built into pens. They're kind of like really thick, large pens, and they capture what you write as you're writing it, and then you can download it from the pen to the computer, so you're not connected to a computer. And then there's kind of graphic tablets that are available that are pretty inexpensive, that usually are done for drawing people or AutoCAD or things like that, but you can also write into those as well with the appropriate program, and it'll kind of capture it and put it into a Word document or something that kind of intelligently understands what's being written other than it just being pictures or something. So there's those two different things, and kind of what Gordon was describing was actual Windows platform where you write on the screen and it does handwriting or character recognition as well, and that's been around for a really long time, but it stunk up until the computer processing power caught up that it can handle it better, which it does now. So that's all available. And then you can even go in and just get something like an iPad, which has the same thing as well built right into it, and use an iPad to do all that. It's kind of some different ideas. I'm not sure specifically which one you were thinking of, K2DAR, K2DSL.
Okay, very good, David. Was there someone else who wanted to make a comment?
Maybe two.
I thought there was somebody else. Go ahead, John.
I think David covered most of it. One other thing that I have seen is a whiteboard, where when you're writing on a whiteboard, there's XY readers that are either RF or IR or whatever that are constantly figuring out what the pen is. And then when you're writing on the whiteboard, this is then also being recorded graphically in a computer, and then you have a copy of the presentation. It includes erasing and everything else.
Okay, very good. Anybody else?
WE2R.
Charlie.
A question. This is all very interesting. I have occasion to take a lot of notes at times in a notebook with a pen. And then when I get home, I transcribe the notes sort of word for word from my notebook. Does this mean I won't have to do that? I could skip that step? And it would be immediately on my computer, you know, providing I press the right button?
That's correct. That's the whole point, KF2ID.
Amen.
And this miraculous device is called the Smart Pen, if I heard correctly?
Well, that's what I just deemed it. They probably all have different names. I've seen a few of them around where you can where it tries to intelligently understand. I'll look and see if I can find one online.
Okay, thank you. I think this could really save me a lot of work. This is WE2R.
Of Okie dokie. Very fine. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mr. K.
Question. I'm going to ask, are there any other check-ins, questions, comments, or not?
Mr. K.
Mr. K.
Anyway, I don't know if you want to spend a little more time on ham radio, university coming up this Sunday morning in the usual site for the Landmark Ham Fest in the adjoining building. I did go last year in Bethpage on Stewart Avenue in Bethpage. Look up Ham Radio University. It gives you all kinds of directions and the check-in and all that. I know a number of people have had success taking tests there, and there's some very good forums and various things. I understand the doors open at 7:30 a. There are a whole bunch of forums that start at 9 a., and I'm trying to think when they get over, something like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But well worth a trip. If you can put together a small party to head out to the Bethpage Sunday morning.
Well, it sounds like a great fun. You know, in scouting, we have University of Scouting, and I think the pattern for this ham radio university was patterned after they've had University of Scouting for decades. I know that Landmark started with this a number of years ago, and I poked around a little bit and found out that they had some hams who were scouters, and that's where the genesis of some of this came from. Anyway, very good. Very, very good. Anybody have any questions regarding this?
Comment, KTDSL.
Go ahead, David.
What I did was I went to Amazon, not because you have to buy it there, but I just did a search in Amazon for digital pen, two words, digital pen, and it brought back a bunch of different ones. Some of them are primarily just for pens that also capture audio, kind of like a recording device, but there are some in there I saw that actually do what I was describing, where it captures what you're writing and then converts it when you hook it up to your computer. One of them that I saw is a Logitech IO2 digital pen. So if you go into that one after you search for digital pen, Logitech's a company a lot of people know with mice and keyboards. If you scroll down, you look at it, you can kind of see how it converts handwriting to from your handwriting and converts it kind of like, you know, a OCR scanner used to do for scanning. It'll take it from there and convert it into text. And there's a bunch of different ones, and I just did it just because you can kind of see the pricing if I do it when you do it on Amazon. But you could probably also do search on digital pens just in general through Google or something and find some others. And if once you start to see the names of them, if you then use that in Google as well, you can kind of find some others that might have comparisons on it. So just something to check out. K2VAR is K2DSL.
Well, that's excellent. That's absolutely excellent. I've mastered it a couple of times over the years, but I think you're right. Computer power has only recently come to the fore. It's pretty cool. I mean, my problem is I still type faster than I write, so it doesn't matter. I'm better off typing anyway, but alas, alas. Alrighty, let's see. Noel, or actually Ben, before we move on, did you have any more on this one?
Not really. I appreciate the effort that was done. I was just hoping that somebody had some personal, practical experience or knew somebody, you know, a student, you know, had a kid in school or something. But I thank everybody for the input. Oh, one other thing, the W2TY or something, it was having a lot of notes. There is a technique, I don't know if you want to use it, but you can use it, and it will be certainly faster than retyping. You can take a picture, a digital photo of your notebook if you've got a good, reasonably good digital camera, and load the digital photo of your notebook. Or as I said before, you can use a copy machine. If you have one that will copy your whatever you put in a machine and transfer to the computer. So these are two other techniques you can use before you buy one of these gadgets to get information from what your handwritten into your computer. I've used the digital photo technique a number of times for various things that I wanted to take pictures of. They want to get into computer and transmit the pictures, such as photos of large photos of my mother, you know, 3x4 foot photos, and I want to get transmit this to my granddaughter, and various other things. So that works very well. You'd be surprised what you can do with a digital camera in your computer. This is KF2ID.
Alrighty. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, OCR software is, or optical character reader software is, you know, got some variables, but I found that if you're going to handwrite, you're better off printing, and you're better off printing on blue line. That's been my experience, but anyway. Anyway, anybody else before we move on?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for the information and food for thought. Thanks, WE2R.
Our pleasure. Yeah, it's good stuff. Alrighty. Noel, you had two questions, a comment. And if one of them is about Navy Star, then I also want to report on mine, which is set up right here in my shack. I set it up the other night, and I'm pretty pleased with it. So we can talk about that, or we can put that later on, whichever you prefer, but it's your ball. N2OELW2TTT.
Well, my first question has nothing to do with that antenna, but about an antenna called DDRR, and I'm curious. You probably heard of that antenna before. And thinking about a minivan, such as the blue one I used to have, a 20-meter DDRR would fit on it quite nicely and be more efficient than a whip, I should think. Back to Ness on that question.
Well, not only will it fit on the minivan or van, or your motorhome, but it also has the really bizarre characteristic of being mechanically horizontal, electrically vertical, and with a low angle of radiation. So it's a wonderful antenna for 20 meters. So yeah, sure, I mean, you're not going to get a lot of gain out of it, but you're going to get less loss. So I think it's got a lot of possibilities, absolutely. Anybody played with a DDRR? On 20 or some other band? Okie dokie, so we got some homework assignments to do here. Okay. So, just so you guys know, it kind of looks like a halo, but not really. It's fed differently. It's horizontal. If you see these hockey puck antennas that look a little large, on surveillance vehicles used by law enforcement and things like that. If they're not a satellite antenna, they are a DDRR, which is basically this thing that comes up a short distance off a ground plane and then loops around. And I don't have the exact feed configuration in my head, but as Noel suggested, a 20-meter one will fit very nicely on the roof of a van. Noel?
Well, it seems to be about 6 inches high, so you could drive into a normal garage. Most of the radiation seems to be from the vertical portion because it's vertically polarized. Really strange. And what else? It's basically a quarter wave antenna bent into a circle or a square convenient shape. And it's very narrow banded, high Q, low noise, and it's tuned for the capacitor at the tip to the ground plane. The other thing that's interesting about it is, if you had a limited space antenna or a roof where there's heat restriction, as long as you had a flat roof and you put it up there, hide it with something, and it would only be 6 or 8 inches high, and people have been building it with like fencing or screen underneath it as the ground plane part. And I was thinking for a mobile antenna, it really would be something. It's about 3 feet down, dB down from a quarter wave, but again, it has much less seed noise because of the high Q. So I was just thinking that might be an interesting antenna for a mobile application if you happen to have a big fat roof surface. And if you happen to be using a regular car, other than the fact that the wipes would kill you and the thing is physically monstrous, to build one out of 3/4 copper pipe for 10 meters. Back to that, that's a little
young. You certainly could do that. For all the reasons you clearly laid out. It's a neat antenna. Maybe what you want to do is you could shoot a note off to David or Tony. Maybe they could mount some resources that you find on the subject on the Bauer website, and we can use that as a conversational resource next week. Would you be interested in doing that, Noel?
Not really. Not unless we build one. It's kid night.
Well, my suggestion is that you go find some online resource that it looks like it's inherently buildable and propose that it be built by Kit Knight, and we can discuss that next Tuesday. Got to get people excited. Next Thursday, I'm sorry.
Well, my first Kit Knight is going to be in July, so I'm going to wait on that.
Okay. Fair enough. But anybody else interested? Okie dokie. That's actually, I at one point I considered DDRR, and I, for whatever reason, just never followed through, and I don't know why I didn't. I think that's when I had my 10-meter dipole on my VM, and my loaded 40-meter dipole with the huge monster coils. All right. Next topic, Mr. Noel.
Ah, that cute little antenna, which appears to be about 30 inches long, and when you flip up the metal ends, it, what, might be 8-10 inches high, with a built-in rotator. Everything except the pipe to mount it on came with, mine came with about 30 feet of RG75 coax that also serves to feed the rotator as well as the downlead for the amplified antenna. And I'm thinking, you know, if I could get a big plastic garbage can or something, cut it off, I can put this on the roof of the van and never have to worry about it getting hit by a bird or something when I'm driving down the road. What do you think? You hooked it up. Have you tried getting this channel, what is it, 50 over in Montclair? Have you tried rotating it at all?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've got it on my little HDTV, the one I use with, as a monitor for my IC7000. I got a little 9-inch that I take portable. And I did an add channel. I scanned toward Empire. It was great. It's in my shack. When it's in the garbage can, you're going to have to fold the low band dipole elements up, or I should say, not up, but forward. What I was actually looking at This thing has like a duck bill, which is like a radome for what I assume is some sort of what they call it, not a Yagi, another discount. The what's the beam like antenna that's tapered for a bunch of frequencies? I'm brain dead here.
Periodic.
Thank you for those of us who are using rented brain cells for tonight. Thank you. A log periodic. I'm assuming there's a log periodic inside this radome. This thing goes from UHF back to VHF and then has a flip-out dipole for FM in the back. Then it has a reflector that is like a grill that flips up and down in front of that for the for the TV portion, not the FM portion. And I was looking at the butterfly nuts. It's got plastic butterfly nuts on a plastic mount for the folded dipole, for the FM dipole. And I was looking at that, and I'm going, gee, I can attach a piece of plastic across the top of the two butterfly nuts in the center and put a short Yagi for, let's say, 2 meters or 440 right in front of it. So if you were out camping and you wanted to talk to the local repeater site, which is also where the local repeaters, where the local TV station is, you'd have a great time for that. The other thing you could do is if you had a lightweight vertical omni, you could probably mount it on a piece of plexi between those two points as well. And as long as it was weight is either inherently light or weighted, so it tilted toward the front a little bit, because the actual balance point is forward of where I'm talking about mounting this thing. So it has to be, whatever you have to do, you have to balance it a little bit. But you could use this as a very inexpensive rotating antenna mount, not just for TV, but also for whatever other antennas you want to add above it. The way the rotator works is it's got an IR controller and one button. You say, well, how do you rotate something with one button? It's really, really simple. It rotates in one direction until it hits a stop and then bounces and then starts going the other direction. And it's pretty quick. It's not like a CDE rotator. It's, you know, probably less than 20 seconds to go 360 degrees. So this puppy's going to be whipping around on you a little bit. You'll be able to, zone in on an antenna very quickly, or on a target very quickly. So the rotator itself is built into this thing. You're not going to put anything really, really heavy on it, but if you built one of those, if you used one of those cheap Yagis that Steve WITW likes to build, and varnish it up real well so the wood doesn't turn garbage, or you do a cheap Yagi on a piece of lightweight fiberglass square stock, square tubing, I should say, or some other non-conductive, blue antenna like the cheap Yagi has. It'd be perfect for a 2 meter or 2 meter 440 cheap Yagi. It really would. It'd be excellent. And the forward weight of the reflector, or the directors, pardon me, would counterbalance the weight of the driven element and the reflector. And you could literally stack it on top of this thing without any problem whatsoever. You could build a 2 meter 440 or 2 meter 220 440 Yagi stack, short ones. I'm talking about maybe less than 3 feet, maybe even less than 2.5 feet for that matter. And it would be marvelous. I think this antenna has enough onions, enough torque to turn a few additional antennas stacked up on top, as long as they were balanced. Any comments?
This is K2DSL. What do you call this antenna?
What does the box say? I intentionally did not chuck the box. Its brand is Navy Star Super Active Rotating Antenna for UHF and VHF, TV, and FM radio. In fact, You could actually take off the FM radio pieces if you really didn't want them. If you were to use that, just use that as a mount for something else to extend on top of the TV antenna. But the TV antenna, the VHF, UHF one, is essentially a duckbill antenna, or a duckbill radome, with a log periodic inside.
What's the company name that makes it? Navy? What is it?
You make this up. Navy Star is the brand. Let me give you a model number. November Sierra Foxtrot Delta dash 089er. November Sierra Foxtrot Delta, like Nova Scotia Fire Department, hyphen 089er.
Okay, I found it. It's, this website has it for like $33 or something.
All right, well, I will defer to Noel about how to get the thing purchased at the absolute minimum cost. He always seems to outshine everybody else on that one. Noel?
I believe it was $29 on eBay. I think I'm going to go back and buy another one. My question was, since basically I believe the VHF part is the one in the back, and most of the channels are now on UHF, probably could get away with removing those two wings in the back. And I think, I don't know, it supposedly has, if you read the Chinglish in the instructions, it has supposedly a very low noise amplifier. If Gordon read you the directions, he would fall over laughing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty horrendous, to say the least. What I like to say to my colleagues who apologize for their English at work, it's like, keep in mind that their English is better than my Mandarin or Cantonese. Having said that, it's pretty horrendous.
And the control box has two 75 ohm connectors on it, and no explanation what to do with the extra one. I wrote it to the seller, and they didn't know either. But it seems like for $30, $29, whatever, it's nice for when our cable goes down.
Right. Actually, I just turned on my box. The only thing I didn't like is that the control box is AC driven, and I'm reasonably certain that the voltage on the coax is probably not AC. I haven't measured it, but one of my tasks is to open this puppy up and see what I can do about making this a DC only toy. I can't imagine it taking up a lot of current. So even then, no big deal. I have a question. Where are Channel 7's transmitters? I'm not getting any logical Channel 7 on my little tiny HDTV on this antenna or anything else I've been able to throw together. Does anybody know, are they actually there?
WQXT?
Go ahead, John.
They're definitely on the air, 7-1, 2, and 3.
Okay, and where are they? Are they in FIR as well?
I believe so. I actually have an old, TV antenna on the roof, and it got blown sideways in the wind, and I still receive them here in Harrington Park, which is 12 miles north of New York. The thing is currently pointing in the direction of pretty much due east, so I'm getting them sideways on the VHF, UHF antenna, and they're coming in, 7-1, 7-2, 7-3.
Yeah, is it one of those like a weather channel?
Yeah, that's 7-3.
Yeah, but they wanted to get that and just leave it up as a continuous weather channel, you know, use the spare monitor just to have a constant, you know, weather ticker in the corner of my shack.